Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tamara Lee's Trend On, engaging your audience to trend on you. Trend On, featuring guest interviews and current trends from businesses to entertainment to lifestyle topics. And here's your host, the engaging Tamara Lee.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Tamara Lee's Trend On, engaging your audience to trend on you. I am your host, Tamara Lee of Tamara Lee LLC, a communications company meeting the needs of clients across platforms. From social, mobile, blogging, branding, writing, editing, image communications, and intercultural communications, all things communication. And you can find me at TamaraLeeLLC.com. That's TamaraLeeGhLLC.com. And you can also find me on Facebook and LinkedIn. And please give me a follow on Twitter at TamaraLeeLLC_LLC. That's at TamaraLeeGh_LLC. And if you like our show and want to join our team of supporters, we appreciate your financial contributions at paypal.me/ Tamara Lee LLC. Again, that's TamaraLeeGh LLC at paypal.me/ Tamara Lee LLC. So we can continue to bring you great Tamara Lee's Trend On shows, which you can also find all of our past Trend On shows from the, believe it or not, last 6 years, which seems crazy. Heidi and I, my producer, who I want to give a shout out there, who you heard at the beginning of the show, Heidi Feimster, we will be starting our seventh year together in January 2019 of doing Tamara Lee's Trend On. Over the years, and we've had a wide variety of amazing people and guests on our show and topics. We've covered the gamut. And today I am excited about our Trend On guest, who is an entrepreneur and in the tech industry and also a recent walk away from the so we're kind of combining business and politics here, two of my favorite subjects, with our guest today, Jeffrey Peterson. Jeffrey, thank you for joining us.
Tamara, it's my privilege.
Well, Jeffrey and I have done a couple of shows together, so this isn't our first interview rodeo on his mobile.co, which I will let Jeffrey tell you about. But Jeffrey is, for our audience here today, Jeffrey Peterson is an experienced technology entrepreneur, founder, CEO of mobile.co, Vader TV, and Que Pasa, the first internet brand for U.S. Hispanics that went public in June of 1999. And Jeffrey and the mobile.co team are building an innovative social platform that, in Jeffrey's words, and I can quote him and he can correct me if I don't have it right, has never been done before. So the new improved social platform, and given Jeffrey's success in the past of building and launching a brand platform, mobile.co promises to be a disruptor in a space plagued by bias and censorship, as we all know, because my at Tamara Lee LLC Twitter nearly, that I'd probably be at 100,000 followers by now, but they killed me last June. So I am waiting with great anticipation for a new platform to come to market. And Jeffrey is just the person doing that. So why don't we first start off before we get into that topic, and I'll let you give an introduction that's a little bit more complete there than what I just gave you a shout out. You are from California. Is your family safe from the fires? What's going
they
on
are.
There?
Thank you very much. Yes, we are Santa Barbara natives, so we're a little bit up the road from the fire. But I got to tell you, it is a little strange, Tamara. Every year we're getting these big fires there, so who knows what that's all about.
Well, and I love Santa Barbara. My audience knows I've, you know, done the Santa Barbara Film Fest for a number of years since starting Trend On Show. And that's just a terrific experience. I love running in Santa Barbara. It's just one of my favorite places in the world. So I'm glad to hear it's say for now, but I also lived in California, LA area, right near Thousand Oaks, where unfortunately the shooting was this past week, and the fires. And I do remember, and this was a couple decades ago, dare I say, just a few years ago, because the math works out better for my age. See them on the mountain in the distance, but they were never that out of control, it doesn't seem like. So, you know, I remember being a Midwest girl and looking up at the mountains and seeing fire and thinking like, well, okay, should we be afraid? But they seem smaller and contained and just sort of a natural process, not what we've seen in the past recent years of just out of control and extensive damage. So it's crazy, and I guess more shall be revealed of what is going on with all those fires out there in California. But I'm glad to hear your family is safe. So why don't you give a little bit better introduction about your background as a successful tech entrepreneur who's from south of Silicon Valley, the better part.
Thank you, Tamara. Well, first of all, I want to thank you for having me on the show. You know, I have been a follower and listener of yours for some time. And the for your listeners, I got to say, this is the shameless plug. Really, Tamara is magnetic. Everything she does seems to attract very smart people. Now, if I'm included in that equation, I feel lucky. I don't know if I belong in that equation, but I guess people know me for the Que Pasa project. It was one of the few, and we're talking, there's probably less than 20 big social networks in the history of the U.S. I was lucky enough to be included with my co-founder, Michael Silverman, when we started Que Pasa all the way back at the time of the dot-com boom, 1999, and we grew it to be larger than Yahoo in its first year,
wow,
which got a lot of attention in Spanish, of course. And then a singer, Gloria Estefan, signed on to be our spokesperson. We were the first brand that she had endorsed. She never did Coke, she never did Pepsi. Que Pasa was the first brand she did. So that got some attention in the Hispanic media segment. And then the rest was history, Tamara. Que Pasa grew to be one of the top social media brands in the U.S. Company is still around today, by the way. One of my good friends, Rick Scott, who I believe is in the process of finalizing his election, he bought back when he was a venture capitalist, he bought our business while it was still Que Pasa in about 10 years ago. And he ended up being the smart deal guy he is. He changed the name to Meet Me. So Que Pasa is still around today. It operates. It's a top 20 mobile app in both the Android and iOS store in the United States. It has 2 million users a day download and go on to Meet Me. But it's still the same company we started. It's the same taxpayer ID, just a different name. And market value is about $500 million, if you can believe it, still, even today. So it was an opportunity to learn a lot of lessons about social media and technology and to meet smart people like yourself, Tamara.
Oh, well, I'm just faking my way through this. And by doing that, apparently, well, I get to hang around with super smart people myself. And that's the funny thing of the small intersection and small world sometimes of the business and the politics of, you know, having met you through a different channel. And then all of a sudden, you're telling the history of Que Pasa and Rick Scott. And, of course, I've been working with a group both down in Florida. Rick Scott was very instrumental on the independent film that I'm working with their team of Gullah Geechee Corridor and the East Coast Greenway that was filmed down in Florida. And Governor Rick Scott just made a proclamation for us, having declared October Gullah Geechee Cultural Corridor Heritage Month. And so it's just crazy what a small world it is of working in different ways, how people come into your world. I really do believe that are meant to be. And so I am thankful that our orbits collided, or however that goes. So quick question here, because yo no sé español is what I say. I taught English language learning for 10 plus years, and I had students from all over the world and over 25 languages that I was dealing with. And everyone would ask me, you know, oh, do you speak Spanish or do you speak Russian or do you speak Mandarin? And I'm like, no, I speak English. That's what they need to learn. They already know their language. So it's kind of funny. So for Que Pasa, for those of us who don't know, what does that mean? What does that translate to?
Yeah, good question, because being a half British American, my mom is from London, and I guess I'm just what you call a regular Caucasian guy who grew up in Southern California. I never spoke any Spanish. I had actually been working on Wall Street, and we had wanted to go out and build a technology company. I had a lot of history with technology in my life. We wanted to go out and build a technology company that could help a lot of people in a segment of the internet that had not yet been addressed. And so we actually just did statistical research on language terms in the Spanish language that would be culturally neutral amongst the 20 plus countries of Latin America. And we found that the term que pasa, which means simply what's happening, or I guess a loose English translation would be like, what's up?
What's up?
Yeah, or what's happening. We found that it was actually one of the phrases that Spanish speakers use the most in all of the Spanish language, in all the countries that do speak Spanish, and that it didn't have a cultural bias to it. In other words, it didn't sound Puerto Rican. Mm-hmm. It didn't sound Colombian. It just sort of sounded Spanish language neutral. And so we picked that brand. We aggressively marketed for years. We still hold the record all these years later of the largest Spanish language advertising campaign done for an internet brand in the United States, which was about $40 million over 2 years, and achieved a very, very high success rate in terms of the acceptance of our brand. Our only real competitor is not a name that is loved amongst conservative circles, but it was Univision, the big TV network. And we gave them a run for their money online. We were always right there neck and neck with them, even though their budget was about 30 times what ours was. We consistently showed up in the ratings right next to them for a very long time. So Que Pasa is one of the better known, definitely in the top three or four Spanish language internet brands in the history of the U.S.
Wow, that's so cool. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. So now
started by a pasty white half British English speaking guy from Santa Barbara. That's right.
But now you're fluent in Spanish, correct?
20 years. It's crazy because you know, I think there's a movie somewhere where the actor said this same thing. I flunked out of my 8th grade Spanish class, and you know, all these years later, it's so much different when you do something because you want to do it. All these years later, mm-hmm. I find myself having been immersed in Spanish for 20 years. I worked with two Mexican presidents, one Central American president, and it really became a second language experience. It's been incredible.
See, that's a whole nother tangent we could go down, because I love, you know, having studied that and done it professionally. It's the brain processes how it flows between languages, which probably is not unlike the technology in terms of wiring there. Interesting conversation. My daughter just returned from France. We had an opportunity in 2011 to live in Germany, and I taught over there. And the French from my college days kind of dusted off the cobwebs and came back. But I went knowing no German, and my host German, this is the German culture. They're so direct, right? So I'm over there for about 3 months, and I hadn't really learned German. And she's like, you're a teacher and you haven't learned any German yet, or you're not taking classes. She goes, I'm so, how did she say it? Like, disappointed in me or something. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm just hurt by that. But I went to Paris instead, because the classes were like the same amount of money as a weekend in Paris. And so I went to Paris and I learned little German. But anyway, that's all fun about how the brain works and the language and all that area of learning. But so now that you're fluent, and then you also did another startup, which I want to talk mostly more about what you're doing with mobile.co right now, especially after my censorship banning from Twitter for being a bot that does not have me happy, which is kind of how we connected regarding mobile.co. But just real quick, maybe give a couple lines about Bader TV, because that was another one of your startups, correct?
Yeah, I think, when you do a big publicly traded technology company, you get a little bit of recognition. It's not like I'm the only entrepreneur who's ever taken a technology company public, but Que Pasa did trade on the NASDAQ stock market and the New York Stock Exchange on and off for about 10 years. And so that gets you into a club where you get invited into other people's projects. Vader.tv, which is spelled VATOR.TV, or I guess now they're using Vader.co. It's a platform for venture capitalists to vet and fund startup projects that are presented by entrepreneurs. So it's a unique platform. It's kind of like a social network for entrepreneurs to pitch their deals to venture capitalists. Myself and Peter Thiel, who is the co-founder of PayPal, and Richard Rosenblatt, who's the former CEO of MySpace, the three of us together were the founding investors behind Vader, who is run by a Filipina-American lady named Bambi Francisco. I asked her, Bambi, is that your real name? She says, yeah, in the Philippines, they use crazy names. But she was the former chief reporter for CBS MarketWatch for internet stocks. And so that's how we all know Bambi. We invited Jack Dorsey from Twitter to invest in Vader when we were first starting. He said he was going to, but then he didn't. So Jack, you missed out on a great opportunity. Vader is doing great now. And we're very proud of the platform. It's helped a lot of entrepreneurs get started. There's some interesting technology names that were actually funded by Vader. One of them is Udemy. If you've seen the online course startup, Udemy has hundreds of thousands of classes you can take online. And entrepreneurs behind Udemy, yeah, they got their funding through a Vader event. So it has helped to launch some pretty good brands.
Way cool. So you're in good company. So, yes, and Jack, I'd like my Twitter back. So, you know, if you can help me out there, which is what you and I did. And I've shared that link with our audience, too, of you and I did a Mumble.co interview and addressed that, and actually had Laura Loomer on, who is just, you know, badass right now, going after everything. So good for her. But, yes, that whole censorship, which is what led you to Mumble.co.
That's right.
So,
yes.
What's going on?
Mobile.co is a, you know, there's this myth that good technology projects start overnight. As a matter of fact, we did a big study at Vader that showed the average time to maturity for new technology projects is about 10 years. So I'll preface what I'm saying by that. Mobile.co is a long-term project to bring a totally transparent, open community to market that will enable individuals to really be a part of the governance of a social network, right? So we have these big social network brands that are dominating the landscape in the U.S. We have Facebook, we have Twitter, we have LinkedIn, three of the top social networks. And have a different focus, but everybody knows those brands right now.
Right,
but
right.
The individuals have very little opportunity to influence the governance or direction or priorities of these communities. Myself and actually Que Pasa's co-founder, Michael Silverman, who is Mobile.co's co-founder, we wanted to bring a project to market that will enable individuals to really be a part of building a online community. And so that's what Mobile.co is. Mobile.co is under development right now. It's not pretty, but it will be functional very, very soon. And another thing we learn about technology with experience, Tamara, is that people don't really care about flash. They care about functionality. If the project does what you need it to do, you know, we can make it beautiful later, which definitely applies to Mobile.co. But we're building
That's
a big.
That's what I call myself. I'm a work in progress.
There you go, and a very fine work in progress, if I do say so myself. Mobile.co will be fully operational probably right around the new year, and it will have the capacity that a Twitter has. It'll have the capacity that a Facebook has. It'll be able to handle millions and millions of users in the context of a big social network. It's going to have some other functionality too. It's going to have some working online functionality and research capabilities. We do plan to publish news with the Mobile.co brand as well. So yeah, it's an ambitious project. We want to help as many people as possible to increase their knowledge around technology projects and allow them to participate in the community. You know, we're going to have boards and committees that are open to the users in terms of developing governance and policy and whatnot. And I just don't think that's been done before. But it's a natural next step, Tamara.
Yeah, so that would be the component of the never been done before in terms of both the user engagement in the actual governance of the platform, plus expanding to where actual work can be done and engaged and exchanged all within the context of the data.
That's right. Yeah, you did. You don't have to work online if you're not interested in working online and earning an income online, as many people are starting to do now. Then you don't have to. But more and more people in America are interested every year in learning about diversifying their opportunity to earn an income into the online world. Look, so many studies have shown, Tamara, over the years that offline behavior will be duplicated online. That means the same things that people do in the real world, they end up doing in the online world. The working online, meaning doing your job, earning your income mm-hmm. online, this phenomena is slowly, slowly creeping up on society. And at some point, it's going to be something that everybody needs to do. So we figured this would be a great opportunity to combine the concepts of social networking, which is talk all day with your friends, but don't make any money, with the concept of working online, which is do something you're good at, whatever that may be, if it's research, if it is, I don't know, we have a lot of talented academic writers, legal writers that can earn some money online with their skill set, programmers, technical people. You ought to be able to do this and meet your business contacts and increase your opportunities to get jobs and get clients with the same system that you're using to develop your online profile and talk to your friends all day. So we're combining those two topics. I believe it's the first time it's been done. Others will do it too, but we're going to have our own approach. Yeah, so that's mobile.co.
So I love that because I'll just call myself avant-garde because when I came back from Germany, I obviously had left my other job to go do that. And my degree is communications, and I wanted to build something because my kids were all over the country. And as a mom, you know, I'm looking like, okay, where are my kids all going to land eventually? But they were in their 20s and mobile. And so I wanted to create my own business, excuse me, that was non-location dependent. And it was kind of as that curve was going from things to being network TV and all that to the social platforms taking off and everything going to streaming. And so I found myself very immersed in the online world. And it's always been with a business focus and political focus, but business minded because either operating off the principle that when you if you spend time on something and it costs you money, it's a hobby. If you spend time on something and it makes you money, it's a business. And so
yeah.
I try to have it be more business, less hobby. So it sounds like
a really
great opportunity with the platform. Go ahead.
It's really a trend. You know, and this is
and we're all about
that
trends here on Trend On, by the way.
as I mentioned, it's something that is sneaking up on America. You know, apparently there's not going to be a day where we all wake up and everyone's office door is padlocked shut and their computers are open for everyone to go to work. It's not going to happen in just one day. It's going to be a period of time where folks transition from the old way of doing work, into the new way of doing work. And if we have the opportunity to be a part of that and help to educate our fellow citizens as much as possible. And let's face it, Tamara, there is somewhat of a divide. I've been realizing this over the past year between the coastal communities of the United States and middle America when it comes to technology awareness. So we want to do everything possible to help to educate our fellow Americans about getting back into a leadership position when it comes to innovating around technology. And working online is a very important part of that equation.
Well, don't take this personally, but we in the Midwest think the coasts are loony, and so there's been some sort of deliberateness about keeping you out of our space. But I know you give us it for smart people, too, so give us a good sell and we'll embrace it.
Absolutely. No, all over America, there is this sense of wanting to get back to a leadership position in every field around the world, where the U.S. has traditionally been. Let's face it, Americans are the greatest innovators in the world. And, it's not that we've lost that. It's that sometimes there's such thing as too much information. And I believe there's a good number of Americans that have felt somewhat dazed and confused by all the information that's been thrown at us over the recent years. So a big part of our initiative, again, Tamara, is increasing the awareness and helping to educate Americans about all the new opportunities for working online, because there's a whole bunch of different ways it can be done, and not every way is going to be right for everyone. But once you find your niche, it can be really, really good.
Well, it will be exciting to see this roll out as you build it, and we shall all come because you did build it. So it's exciting, mm-hmm. and I'll keep everyone posted on the updates and what's going on to be able to do that. Quickly, before we are out of time and our British lady on Blog Talk Radio cuts us off, I did want to speak for a moment about your experience as a recent walk away, which everyone, not everyone, but a good portion of my followers know that I am deep down that rabbit hole for the MAGA movement starting back in 2015 with President Trump, and how quickly the time goes. And now we just wrapped up the 2018 elections, which are a bleep show. I'd say it out loud on my show, but I keep it PG. down in Florida and Arizona and across the country, and everyone is like, what is going on? And it's all part of symptoms, I think, that are showing up of what has been a festering problem within the U.S. for quite some time, and now we're seeing the results of that malaise, if you would. What is your experience as a highly involved Democrat and walking away? What brought you over to the right side, in my opinion?
Thank you very much. It's a privilege. I'll make a very long story short. It was just corruption that I saw with my own eyes, Tamara, so much to the point of where it doesn't really matter what political party I would have been. The folks that I was around at the highest level of the Democrat Party as a donor, as a significant party donor of more than 10 years, at some point it just hit me in the face like a ton of bricks, that these people are corrupt. And no one was more surprised than me that a lot of what had been sold to me as conservative rhetoric or meaningless conservative rhetoric was actually true, particularly the posture that President Trump has taken towards draining the swamp with the entrenched political operators that overreach positions they no longer hold. I found that to be extremely true. And so I've really, it's been a 180-degree shift, Tamara, from believing the Democrat Party rhetoric that President Trump is crazy a few years ago, without really knowing why I believed it, by the way. A lot of Democrats, I believe, just, they just hear that, and then they see that President Trump has a strong personality. They don't really listen to him. They just say, gosh, he must be crazy. But it's been a 180-degree shift away from that posture over to today being deeply thankful that my fellow Americans were wise enough to elect this man as president of the United States. I believe he's exactly what the country needs right now.
I agree. And that the swamp was the hook that got me early on with Trump, because my premise is the swamp starts in our backyard and the corruption begins with our local politicians and goes up, infiltrates our state levels. And then by the time they get to the federal level, I mean, just swamp swimming is how they go. We need to look at the whole picture. And it's a non-party, the uniparty swampiness of corruption on both sides. So I'm an equal opportunity corruption caller-outer. You can say that. So I would say, what has been the biggest revelation for you, kind of embracing the ideas of what President Trump is trying to do? What struck you the most on what level?
I think more so than anything else, it is getting back to the notion of America first. When you look at a lot of the top Democrat Party operators, I can say this from experience, and it is really something else to see it firsthand. Many of the top operators in the Democrat Party are selling out America for their own financial gain. My gosh, as liberals, we were supposed to believe that we would put individuals and trees and puppies first. But that's just not true. These are some of the most money-hungry, corrupt individuals I've ever known at the top echelons of the Democrat Party. Now, President Trump, ironically, is strongly advocating for America first and getting rid of the special interests. And that is a big deal to me. So, again, back to the notion of draining the swamp and getting rid of the corruption, this is a very real thing. I will soon publish some works that argue that the PRI, the old hardline Mexican establishment political party, has infiltrated the United States Democrat Party. Now, it sounds kind of crazy when you first hear that, like another, I don't know what we call them, tinfoil hat theory, but it's not. It's absolutely true.
And you know that from personal experience and having seen it with your own eyes. I think that's one thing that Americans are naive about. They believe the corruption is there, or the dishonesty, or the abuse of our political offices. We think everything's functioning in the ideal until you're having to deal with it on a pragmatic level. And then you find out, wait, what? Judges are lying and they'll change documents and the system is rigged. Another one of Trump's terms. I think that was kind of an eye-opener for people in the 2015-2016 election. Would you agree, having seen what you saw?
Absolutely. The cronyism that occurs and the actual corruption that has occurred is not an American thing. That's not what we're supposed to be. We are not China. We are not Russia. We are supposed to be, and I do believe in my heart of hearts, that we still are the global leader in fairness and transparency. We ought to be able to stand on the White House lawn, or at least outside the gate, and express our views freely. That's what makes that's one of the most important things that makes America great. The Democrat Party, ironically, we're supposed to be so free to express dissenting views. It's turned into a party of cronyism and corruption. And if you try to interfere with any of the corruption that's occurring, you will be ostracized, you will be pressured, you will be targeted with corrupt activities, and many times you'll be targeted with law enforcement. I mean, we've seen it with Bob Mueller towards Trump, who I strongly believe, and I have many reasons to say this that go beyond the scope of this quick chat, I believe Bob Mueller, as do many of my new conservative friends, was a proxy being controlled by the Democrats. And I have a theory that goes even further. I believe there were Mexican interests at the highest level that are indirectly influencing Bob Mueller as well.
So it's a sleight of hand look at Russia, but the real infiltrator and meddler in our elections.
Yeah, and Americans need to realize, look, we can have, you know, whatever concept we want to of our neighbor to the south, but Mexico is one of the largest economies in the world now. They're, depending whose survey you believe, they're number 12 or number 14, right next to France. They have essentially zero sovereign debt. They have a lot of money. They have the ability to influence America. And if it sounds ridiculous to you, you need to research the topic more. You'll be very surprised at the Mexican influence in D.C. through the lobbyists, through the top law firms. And it comes down to them having an ample supply of cash on hand. Mexico has many, many billions of dollars that they're spending to influence politics in the United States. And the conversation about where those billions are coming from is a separate conversation. But look, I was involved with the Democrat Party at the highest levels for more than 10 years, and I'm not anymore. So that should give you a feel for some of what I saw and how incredibly disturbing it is to me.
Well, hopefully you'll be able to have your voice be heard and make some changes. Real quick, what's your observations on the election results? What's going on with all of that, with the party of no saying, no, we won't accept the election results?
Yeah, I think you know, bullying is a bad thing in all of its forms. And I'm ashamed of what's happening in Florida. Look, in Arizona, Kyrsten Sinema was a friend of mine. Maybe she's still a friend of mine. I don't know. I think I did more for her career than just about anybody in the state of Arizona, especially in the early years. If she won that thing fair and square, so be it. I'm worried about the way the vote tallies came down, about the way they changed at the end. I think it's worth taking a look. And look, she would say the same thing about me. Anything that looks irregular may warrant an investigation. I am ashamed of what's happening in Florida. It seems like outright fraud. And I know Rick Scott, he was the buyer of my old company, Kibasa. I got to know Rick very, very well. He's a fair man. He's an honest man. But he will not stand for bullying. He will not stand for corruption. I would not like to be in the position of the folks that are doing things improperly in Florida if that's what they're doing. Rick is not going to stand for it.
Well, that's encouraging to hear, because it appears to we need strong leaders like that who are finally going to stand up and say enough of these shenanigans. It's like I think I tweeted out that the Dems were gloating on the day after, you know, had their day after glow of winning the House back, which they probably stole too with their shenanigans in votes. But so they're like, oh, we got the House back, we're going to impeach Trump. And Trump's like, you know, great, have the House, we won the Senate, which is more important. And then it, like, the light bulb went on for the Dems of like, oh crap, we should have focused on the Senate. And they're like, we'll be right back, let us go take care of winning the Senate now too. And the GOP establishment Republicans are, as I would say in the past, the uniparty, as culpable as the Dems of being in cahoots to, I call it skins and shirts, that they just take turns up at bat and then they run on the issues and never really solve them. And Trump came into office and said, oh, no, no, Congress, you need to do your job. You need to solve the problems. These are at your feet, the issues that it's your job to fix, and I'm going to hold you accountable to do your job. And they're like, wait, what? What? That's not what this is about. So that's just my personal take on it.
You know, one of the things that the Dems find so offensive about Trump, Tamara, is that he actually is doing his job in a competent way. He is the commander-in-chief is expected to manage all the different branches of government, and he, President Trump, more than any American president in recent history, actually holds people accountable. He fires people. He expects specific results. If you look back on some of the prior administrations, it was all about cronyism and friendship, and you'd rarely see the high positions being rotated. With Trump, it's like he is one step short of requiring everybody to punch a time card on a time clock. I mean, he is running that place like a real manager, and that is what we need. That's what the voters want, and that is what we need, a competent manager who's willing to shake things up, and that's exactly what we've got with this president.
Yeah, one of the things I've thought about Trump that he does is particularly well is that he moves people around. It's like, okay, you're in this position for this purpose at this time, and don't get too comfortable there because it may or may not be long term. And I'll decide. And he puts the mission. So it's like mission focus, not how the military operates. You go in and you do a mission, and it's not about you. It's about the overall big picture and the mission that needs to be accomplished, and I think he does that well. We are just about out of time. I knew it would go fast because there's so much to cover with you and your fascinating world and life. Give people a shout out of where they can find you or follow you or keep track of what's going on with mobile.co coming up.
Sure. Well, please take a look at our brand new Twitter channel. It is at mobile, that's mobile.co. So at mobile.co on Twitter is our social media channel. It's brand new. Okay. So it's going to be growing very quickly here at the end of the year. And you'll have a chance to be one of the first in to working on the community from a policy standpoint. If that sort of thing interests you, I don't think it's been done in the history of the United States. First of all, second of all, you need to pay close attention to this very smart host of this show, Tamara Lee. And you can find her on Twitter at, what is it, Tamara Lee LLC? Is that your?
We're just trading the host mic back and forth. It's at Tamara Lee underscore LLC, TamaraLeigh underscore LLC.
I say that because Tamara's working with us, and she can help any interested parties to become a part of our family as we do launch. When these brands get big, you can't get at them anymore. We're at a very early stage now. So if you ever want to be a part of a world-class, big, significant social media project, here's your chance. You have a very smart host. You have a very smart show with Tamara. You can see all of her accomplishments so far, and I expect they will continue. Tamara, thank you so much for having me on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. That was one of the exciting – I love the entrepreneurial spirit and the startup kind of energy and engagement. So you had me right there at startup. So happy to be on board, happy to be part of the early co-founder Mobile.co team. So, yes, I will be pushing that out. I would have liked to have been pushing it out to my 100,000 followers, but I'm rebuilding. I just hit 10,000 for the second time around. So we'll get the word out.
We will, from a branding standpoint, we will soon be in a position where your 100,000 will seem like a rounding error, Tamara. So don't worry about it. And to everyone else,
okay,
if you want to be a part of, if you want to be a part of some serious growth, this rocket ship is going to be leaving the station soon. So you know where to contact Tamara, and you know how to find us online. We look forward to meeting those of you that are interested in this sort of thing. I hope everyone has a great week.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Buckle up, everybody. It's going to be a fun ride. So thank you for joining us, Jeffrey, and for everyone else tuning in to Tamara Lee's Trend On, engaging your audience to trend on you. It's been fun, and we invite you back. And again, follow us on Twitter at Tamara Lee underscore LLC, and check out all our shows on Blog Talk Radio, Tamara Lee's Trend On. And if you want to help support our show, go to one of Jeffrey's old buddies, that PayPal platform, paypal.me/TamaraLeigh LLC. We look forward to our next show where we will always be trending on great things for you. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks, Jeffrey. Thanks, Heidi.
Thank you.